Well, today, June 27th, 2025, the live line will be opened one last time by Joe Duffy. And what a show and what a consequential broadcaster Joe Duffy has been over the last 27 years. We're going to reflect on the man and the live line he piloted through boom and bust and back again, and the callers that he gave his time, his ear and his influence to through those years. The man himself will be here after 8:30 talking to Áine. But it all started for Joe Duffy in Dublin's Ballyfermot. That's where the now 69-year-old broadcaster was raised. And that's where our reporter Aaron McElroy went to ask locals about what Joe Duffy means to them.
I never miss him, and I'm actually on night duty tomorrow, but I'm going to wake up for the last show.
He's so down to earth, and he's just so, like, talks a lot of sense, but then again he talks a little bit. But the best of luck. I'm very proud of him. He's a Ballyfermot man.
A lot of people like him, yeah. When you're in the game, like, for your own show business, you're not going to please everyone, you know. Somebody's going to hate you.
He's just such a lovely fella, and he always brought help to people. I was a very caring man. Spoke well a lot of things. I brought a lot of things to life for people.
He's a good guy. Good guy. There's a few good guys around.
Would you have advice for him what you should do next?
Oh, get on a plane, because that's what I would be doing if I was him.
You wouldn't know what to be able to do. Heard him talking about being president and all that.
Well, I'm sure he has plenty lined up. He's too young to go. Tell him to go for down to the park. He'll get the job. He'd be great at doing that.
That's Ballyfermot for you. Our arts and media correspondent Evelyn O'Rourke has worked beside Joe Duffy in the Radio Centre for many years. She's even filled the live line hot seat in his absence on occasion. Hello, Evelyn. Good morning.
Good morning, Mary. What a day.
I know. Very caring. One of the good guys among the views there in Ballyfermot. I was reading The Star this morning. There's a quick comment from Joe. He says he was constantly being asked through the years, what's Gay Byrne like? So Evelyn O'Rourke, what's Joe Duffy like?
I always think that question is like, what's he really like? That's the bit they really want to know. And I suppose it's that thing of what I always find with Joe on air, off air, was just endless curiosity. He was interested in everything. It was that range of knowledge. And you, Mary, worked beside him, you know, for so long as well. And you just found it didn't matter what topic you raised with him, he knew more about it than you did. He just read an article about it. You know, you'd have immersed yourself in some subject as a reporter, you know, delighted with yourself. And you'd go, oh yeah, so a piece about that last week. Now read, and suddenly he'd point you in a whole other direction. Mm. But that curiosity fed, and that was constant. And you always saw him, you know, say going around the radio centre, he was always listening to people. He was always asking people, what are you working on? What's happened there? And I think he absolutely brought that to the airwaves as well.
You're touching on. Sorry, Evelyn, for cutting across you there. You're touching on really the many sides to Joe Duffy, aren't you? Joe Duffy, the campaigner, the social justice man. And then there's the art, the literature, the comedy, the pantomime, his Funny Fridays.
I know, the range was just extraordinary, Renaissance man stuff. And also an author, I mean, when you look at the books that he wrote, I always felt he'd such sort of loyalty and affection to the North as well. He was always raising issues there. He was always kind of, you know, mindful of that community as well. But as everybody's doing their top five list. I have my top five, and it's very hard because you can also throw in, you know, menopause, all the different things that he's done. But I was just thinking, Helen's House in 2001, that was massive. I think that was when the caller had rung to say her house was unfinished. He got the volunteers involved. I mean, they've made TV shows now about this. This was all predating that. And I remember going there for 5-7 Live, and President McAleese turned up. And that was the day he went, oh, this show's really, you know, chiming with people. Volunteers had turned up from all over the country to help. But also in 2001, 9/11, of course. And Joe brought us 9/11 live on air.
That's right. Because it was happening in real time while he was going on air. Remind us of the phenomenal programme that he presented that day.
Oh, it was extraordinary. So Liveline starts obviously at 1:45 in America, obviously 8:45 in New York. The first plane flew into the tower at 8:46 a.m. And I remember being out in the car, and we all talked about it afterwards, that suddenly we heard voices like Conor Cleary from the Irish Times, Neil O'Dowd on, just describing in real time what was happening. And it was just extraordinary radio. My memories, I think he stayed on air that day, but just, it was his voice, it was his programme, and he got it. And of course, being Joe, as soon as he could, he hopped on a plane. I was over in New York with him for that, and it was extraordinary. He spent the week pounding the streets in New York. He, of course, has always had such a loyalty and affection to fire brigades. He's really interested in that world. He was down at the firehouses, but bringing those stories, he was at the helm of that. You know, he just wanted to be always where the story was, where the people were, and those instincts always served him really, really well.
Yeah, that really strong news judgment that Joe Duffy has. He has something else as well, a very strong BS detector.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, one of the ones that's on my list is the scams. I mean, he absolutely just revelled when he could put somebody on the hook who was, he felt, defrauding or in any way hoodwinking his listeners. And I think it was that laser beam connection with his listeners. You know, that's what really stands out. You heard it in the Vox Pop there as well. He was communicating directly with his listeners, and he got that conversation. He was from Ballyfermot, and let's be honest, at the time in RT, that his accent stood out. He will talk about that. He had to battle. He was never handed anything. He had to keep working really hard to keep proving that his place was there, that he had that unique relationship with the microphone, with the studio, but with the listeners outside. Because often when you're in the studio, you can forget about the outside world. You're very connected with what's happening around you. He never lost that focus with the people who were ringing in, and he knew it was their show. And you'd say to him about campaigning, he said, no, I'm not, you know, this isn't a campaign or whatever. This is what the people want to talk about. But what I found fascinating about him was somebody would be on, they'd be telling a story. He would pick up on some tiny detail and drill into it, and that would become the story. So it was the producer in him, I think, always enhanced his broadcasting.
And that was it. The people person, never a company man.
Absolutely. He just never, ever, ever lost sight of that. I mean, other people, other stories that people really remember, you know, his extraordinary relationship with the cancer patient, Susie Long, a woman who'd rung. She was struggling to get treatment for advancing cancer condition. She spoke to Joe the months before she died. That was just an amazing relationship. I mean, for her to trust him in her most vulnerable moment, he respected that. He nurtured that relationship. And as a listener, it was an extraordinary insight to a story. The Head Shops campaign in 2010, he said that that was one of their best achievements. Again, very, very moving radio. But as you say, there's that fun side, you know, normal people we have to remember.
Oh yeah.
In the depths of COVID gloom, you know, Joe and the pornography and normal people.
That was it. You know, he had a sense of crack. He has a sense of crack, I should say. Look, you and I and all the listeners, we'll miss him on the air. We'll miss him around the campus as well. You know, going around with his little flask of hot water, getting ready to go to studio. The few words before he picked up his cup of soup. That sort of daily routine that Joe was into. We'll miss all that.
Absolutely. And just his curiosity and everything. Didn't matter what you were doing, he wanted to talk to you about it. And always beautifully dressed. The waistcoat was always on, Mary. There was never any kind of gardening clothes going on here. When he went into radio, he was at work and he respected his listeners. And even though he was mainly on his own in studio a lot, I have to say I was always really struck by how groomed he always was. I always felt he was slightly part of that relationship with the listeners. He respected it so much, he was ready to go, and he took that seriously.
Evelyn, thanks a million for talking about Joe with us this morning. That's Evelyn O'Rourke, and you have lots to talk about later on, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, that was fascinating listening.